Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken away the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first. He saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scriptures that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made, Christians say all over the world today. Let us rejoice and be glad is our reaction. Well, God makes every day. Well, every day of our life is a gift and for which we should never cease to thank Him. Today is the most special day in the history of the world. It's the day in which the Lord, who had created the world in the beginning, remade it. Last night, after the first reading in the Easter Vigil, which was about the creation of the world, we prayed as a church, "O God, who wonderfully created human nature and still more wonderfully redeemed it." The recreated world is even more beautiful than the created one. The Lord has made us for this day, to experience the remaking, the new life that Easter brings. In the book of Revelation, talking about Jesus' eternal triumph, the Lord says, "Behold, I am making all things new." Today, Jesus not only renews all of creation through His overcoming of sin and the death and disorder introduced into the world by sin, but Jesus also wants to make us new. St. Paul describes in today's second reading how we enter into that dramatic transformation. "If then you were raised with Christ," we actually entered into His resurrection on the day we were baptized, "then seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is of earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." The new and improved life Jesus wishes to give us involves new goals, new aspirations. It involves a death to the old Adam in us and a rising with the new Adam, Jesus. It involves lifting up our hearts and our lives to the Lord. If we live this day as God wants to help us to live it, if we allow the Lord to remake us in His image on this holy day, then we will experience His joy and His gladness. Joy is our fundamental response to this day. Catholic churches throughout the world exploded with joy last night in the Easter proclamation, describing the joy of Jesus' resurrection. We sang, "Rejoice, let Mother Church rejoice, arrayed with the lightning of Christ's risen glory. Let this holy building shake with joy, filled with the mighty voices of the peoples." In the hymns we sing, we burst with that building shaking gladness. And the strife is o'er, we sing, "Oh, let us swell the joyful strain. In Christ the Lord is risen today." We tell each other, "Raise your joys and triumphs high." In the great Marian antiphon sung each of the 50 days of the Easter season, we say, "Be joyful, Mary, Heavenly Queen." The entire season is an ode to joy given to God at the gift He gives us today. The Eucharistic preface of the Easter Mass summarizes it most effectively. "Overcome with paschal joy, we pray. Every land, every people exults in your praise. As with all the angels and heavenly powers, we praise and thank God yet more gloriously on this day above all." Jesus came into the world, as He told us on Holy Thursday, "so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Jesus wants us to be filled with joy. And today is the day He wants to remake us in His image and likeness, full of joy. If we're going to celebrate Easter Sunday the way God wants us to, if we're going to truly live the Christian life, we must rejoice and be glad. This has been one of the principal messages of Pope Francis since his election 13 months ago. At the end of November, he wrote an apostolic exhortation to every Catholic of the world. He wrote you a letter, which he wants you to read if you haven't read it already, called "The Joy of the Gospel." He said that the fundamental reform of the Church Christ is calling him to lead is one in which Catholics experience the joy of the Gospel, of believing and living the gladness of our faith, and to be able to bring that happiness contagiously out to others. Pope Francis wrote there, "There are Christians whose lives seem like Lent without Easter, who live as if they're always just coming back from a funeral." And he reminds us that is not the Christian way. He began that whole letter saying, "The joy of the gospel fills the hearts and the lives of all who encounter Jesus. Those who accept His offer of salvation are set free from sin, from sorrow, from inner emptiness and loneliness. With Christ, joy is constantly reborn." Pope Francis says that the Christian life isn't devoid of crosses, but we find joy even in the crosses because of our knowledge of how Good Friday leads to Easter when we unite our crosses to the Lord. Pope Francis says the gospel, radiant with the glory of Christ's cross, constantly invites us to rejoice. Our Christian joy drinks of Jesus' brimming heart. And the way we're able to drink of His brimming heart is we see that His heart was pierced on Good Friday. And it's from His sufferings that our joy comes. And that's what can bring us joy even in the midst of our sufferings. Our Christian joy drinks from His overflowing heart. Jesus promised the disciples before His passion, "You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." And then He went on to say, "But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will be able to take this joy away from you." After His resurrection, He fulfilled this promise, Pope Francis said. As St. John tells us, as we'll hear next Sunday in the Gospel. The disciples rejoiced at the sight of the risen Christ. Pope Francis says that we Christians need to be overcome with paschal joy, because the heart of the Christian message will always be the same in humanly good times and bad times, in poverty and prosperity, in sickness and in health. What is that central message? It's this: the God who revealed His immense love in the crucified and risen Christ. The fundamental Christian message, the Gospel, is Jesus Christ loves you. He gave His life to save you. And now He's living at your side every day to enlighten you, to strengthen you, to free you. When everything is said and done, Pope Francis adds, we're infinitely loved. Pope Francis says he understands the grief of people who have to endure terrible suffering. But he says, even in this suffering, slowly but surely, we have to let the joy of faith, the light of Christ, slowly revive as a quiet yet firm trust, even in the midst of the greatest distress. It's the resurrection of Jesus that gives us hope, even when we're experiencing long Lent. He says, if we think that things are not going to change, we need to recall that Jesus has triumphed over sin and death and is now almighty. We need to remember that Jesus Christ truly lives. Christ, risen and glorified, is the wellspring of our hope, and He will never deprive us of the help we need. But Pope Francis says that if we're really going to experience this fountain of joy and hope, we need to live with Jesus in the present. We need to enter into communion with His joy and hope. We need to receive His strength, even in our weakness. Pope Francis says that Christ's resurrection is not an event of the past. It contains a vital power which has permeated the world. Where all seems to be dead, signs of the resurrection suddenly spring up. It's an irresistible force. Often it seems that God doesn't exist. All around us we see persistent evil, injustice, indifference, cruelty. But it's also true that in the midst of darkness, something always springs to life and sooner or later produces fruit. On raised land, life breaks through stubbornly, led invincibly. However dark things are, goodness always reemerges and spreads. Every day in our world, beauty is born anew. It rises transformed through the storms of history. Values always tend to reappear under new guises. And human beings have arisen time after time from situations that seem doomed. Such is the power of the resurrection. Christ's resurrection everywhere calls forth seeds of that new world. Even if they're cut back, they grow again. For the resurrection is already secretly woven into the fabric of this history. For Jesus Christ did not rise in vain. This is the source of our Christian joy, the font of the joy of the Gospel. But in that beautiful exhortation, Pope Francis also called us to share that joy. The joy flowing from Jesus' brimming heart into our hearts is supposed to flow from our hearts into others' hearts. Just like last night during the Easter Vigil, we all lit tapers from the Paschal candle, showing how Jesus, symbolized by the Paschal candle, lights each of us, symbolized by the tapers, on fire. And how we're called to go spread that flame to our neighbors, lighting their tapers, lighting them on fire with the light of Christ. Just as that happens with light, so it's supposed to happen with joy. Jesus wants to give us His joy, and then He wants to send us out into the world to give others that same joy that we ourselves received. The gift of that resurrection with Christ and the gladness and the joy to which it leads. The way to increase our joy is precisely to spread our faith. We all know that if we were to take a lit taper, even a candle like this, outside on a windy day, it wouldn't stand a chance to remain lit. Even if we were trying to protect it with our hands, even if we were shielding it with our body, if the winds were strong enough, it would eventually be extinguished. What's the way to keep a flame burning? The only way to really keep the flame burning is to take one taper and unite it to a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth, such that you basically get this big fascia, this huge torch that's now aflame. As we saw with the fire last night that began our Easter ceremony, when you've got a big fire going, it's almost impossible to blow out. And so if we never want to lose our joy, the way we do it is by spreading the joy of our faith to others. Because if we start to surround ourselves by people who are experiencing the joy of the gospel, ours won't be able to be blown out. Our joy grows by sharing our faith, because then our own joy is increased by seeing the overflowing, brimming joy flowing from Jesus' heart change the life of another, especially the life of someone we love and care about. Pope Francis says, "We're convinced from personal experience that it's not the same thing to have known Jesus as not to have known Him. It's not the same thing to walk with Jesus as to walk blindly. It's not the same thing to hear His word as not to know it. It's not the same thing to contemplate Him, to worship Him, to find our peace in Him as not to. It's not the same thing to try to build the world with His gospel as to try to do so by our own lights. We know well that with Jesus, life becomes richer. And that with Him, it's easier to find meaning in everything. That's why we evangelize," he said. "We share the faith because we want to make others happy. Because we know life with Jesus makes a difference. And that's why we can't hold our joy within." I don't know if you've been watching on Facebook or other things, there's an Italian nun who's becoming very famous because she's on the Italian version of The Voice. They were totally shocked when they were doing sort of the blind listening to the voice of the singer when this Suor Cristiana comes on out and she sings the first time, and then all of these guys with tattoos, with diabolical Fu Manchus, whatever you call it, turn around and they see this short little 25-year-old sister from Sicily singing with such enthusiasm, they were blown away. Just a couple days ago, she was in the second round, competing head-to-head with another really quite accomplished singer. And they had to choose between the two of them. And the judge basically said, "There's something different about you. When you sing the same song as somebody else, you're just so filled with joy. You can see this guy who suffered in life. You can just tell he hasn't made a lot of right calls in his life. But then he was blown away by the Christian joy brimming from this small little sister. And as she's singing the songs everybody else sings, she sings those words, she sings those melodies differently from everybody else because she sings it with Christian faith and Christian joy." We're supposed to sing that same way. That's what Pope Francis is calling us to, so that the entire church becomes a chorus overflowing with the gospel. This morning in St. Peter's Square, to a crowd of 150,000 present for Mass, Pope Francis summarized all of this saying, "The message that Christians bring to the world is this: Jesus, love incarnate, died on the cross for our sins, but God the Father raised Him and made Him the Lord of life and death. In Jesus, love has triumphed over hatred. mercy over sinfulness, goodness over evil, truth over falsehood, life over death. That's why we Christians tell everyone, come and see. In every human situation marked by frailty, sin, and death, the good news is no matter of mere words, but a testimony to unconditional and faithful love. It's about leaving ourselves behind and encountering others, being close to those crushed by life's trouble, sharing with the needy, standing at the side of the sick, the elderly, and the outcast. Come and see, we Christians say. Love is more powerful. Love gives life. Love makes hope blossom even in the desert. We do this, he says, with joyful certainty in our hearts. That's what's supposed to happen on Easter. If we have been raised with Christ, and we have, then we're to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And what does Christ seek? Christ seeks for you today in your Easter parties to bring joy to others. Christ seeks you to bring others to experience His happiness. Christ seeks you and me to contagiously go light others ablaze with the happiness that comes from the Lord. And we do that best on Easter Sunday, here at Mass, on this day that the Lord has made, this day that we as Christians rejoice and are glad over more than any other day. Our Christian joy is supposed to overflow in the way we celebrate Mass. We're supposed to celebrate it with contagious enthusiasm. Later in that preface, overcome with paschal joy, we will sing out, today let us get ready to receive Jesus' risen body and blood, so that through this gift He may make us new, so that He might help us now and always to seek the things that are above, so that He might help us see and believe and inspire us to bring this joy of the gospel to others. This joy that Jesus lives, that He loves us, that He's at our side every day and wants to be at the side of others every day, so that they may experience the same joy Jesus came to give us to the full. This is the day that Jesus has made for us, the day in which He seeks to make us new. Let us rejoice and be glad, for Jesus is risen. He is truly risen, and this changes everything for the better. Alleluia, alleluia, amen.